I'm Srini Rao, and this is the Unmistakable Creative Podcast, where I speak with creative entrepreneurs, artists, and other insanely interesting people to hear their stories, learn about their molding moments, tipping points, and spectacular takeoffs. Today's episode of The Unmistakable Creative is sponsored by Selz. That's SELZ.com. If you're looking for a PayPal alternative to sell digital, physical products, and services, check out Selz. Selz allows you to add your products and sell from any site in minutes without any complicated setup or hassle, and they recently added the ability to give your customers a pay-what-you-want option. Many of the Unmistakable Creative listeners are already using the product and absolutely love it. Our other sponsor for today's show is FreshBooks, the simple online accounting solution for small business owners just like you who want to skip the headaches of tax time. No more hunting receipts, digging through invoices, or going through records one at a time. When I started working as a freelancer, my process for invoicing clients was disorganized, manual, and messy. Then I discovered FreshBooks. I tried it once, and I was absolutely hooked. With the click of a button, I could generate an invoice and send it right to my clients without having to track a million different attachments and documents. And it allowed me to keep track of exactly how much revenue I was generating, all in one place. If you're invoicing clients on a regular basis, FreshBooks saves you time and helps you get paid faster. It's kind of a no-brainer. And for a limited time, you can try it completely free for 60 whole days. That's 2 months to try it and see just how much more efficient it will make your whole process for invoicing clients. Visit getfreshbooks.com and make sure you enter the Unmistakable Creative in the How Did You Hear About Us section. And remember, when you support our sponsors, you support our show. All right, this is Srini. Welcome to another backstage episode of the Unmistakable Creative. I am here with my co-host, Greg Hartle. Greg, what's going on?
Not much, man. Just writing a petition into the Unmistakable Creative podcast to eliminate the opening intro.
Well,
I'm trying to get 10,000 signatures of people who hate the opening intro to join me in a movement of getting it changed. That's all.
That's what's ironic is that on my list of things to do for today, before the episode airs, is to change the intro music. So by the time people actually are listening to this, what's awesome is they won't even have to send in the petition.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yes. Look at that. Look at that. My efforts are working already.
I know. Can you say some other things that you want to like? How about $1 million falls into our bank account suddenly?
Yeah, that would be great. So by the time this episode is online, there will be $1 million in our bank account.
Perfect.
Also.
I love that. I could definitely use $1 million seeing this to the fact that there's a shiny new car sitting in my driveway.
Oh, nice. You got a new car, huh?
I did.
That's big news.
And I can listen to podcasts in it. It has Bluetooth.
You can finally listen to podcasts. That's great.
Yeah, I know. I can finally become a podcast listener, even though I haven't been one for a long time. Even though I'm a podcast creator, I very rarely listen to podcasts, except when I'm in the car. And now that I have a car with Bluetooth, I can listen to them.
You know what's funny is I listen to podcasts all the time because I use the Swell app.
Mm-hmm.
I must be their biggest power user because I listen to that thing constantly.
Yeah.
But before that app came out, I don't think I ever listened to podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Swell app is really, I think, one of those fantastic examples of why we need to change the intro music. I got to the podcast on the Swell app and I thought, damn it, this takes too long.
Yeah. 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 I would have already swiped to the left and eliminated us.
Exactly. And so I knew right then and there, I was like, okay, that's it. It's got to change. So for those of you guys who have absolutely despised the intro music, I know some of you have told me you hate that girl's voice. So fortunately, you'll be hearing my voice again. And to the best of our knowledge, you actually like my voice since you've listened to us for many years, for some of you. So let's speaking of our listeners and people who like my voice, let's get into some listener feedback from last week on our Gatekeepers episode. It's funny because I actually posted the image on Facebook and it was really it was interesting to see their feedback. So Nisha writes in and she says, I think it's Nisha, but she spells it N-Y-S-H-A, so I'm not sure how we pronounce it. So correct me if I'm wrong, please. I have never seen Gatekeepers as a threat. I hope that does not make me not an unmistakable creative. I see them as a fun game to get around or woo them to love me, not in any weird manipulation way, more than I have to talk to the head cheese. Now kindly pardon me as I give you a kiss and move past you away.
It's a great attitude. I like
really,
it.
Really, it is. I mean, I think that – I think that attitude really is – to me, I think that's the healthiest attitude that you could probably have towards Gatekeepers, to not see them as this sort of
evil, you know, mm-hmm. barrier in your way, which I think we tend to do. We vilify them. We really have. I mean, it was like you said last week, where is that blog post about the gatekeepers who passed on all the shitty books?
Yeah, well, I think, yeah, exactly. I think there's just built up angst, you know, because I think it's more of a personal issue than I think it is the gatekeepers. But there's no doubt also, as we talked about last week, I mean, gatekeepers in many different respects have blocked a lot of people from achieving their goals or reaching their level of success that they've wanted because they haven't gotten that kind of exposure, you know, that they needed. But, you know, I mean, it's all in your mind and it's all about action. So, you know, and you're seeing that now, like the people who embrace gatekeepers like Nisha, you know, tend to do well. Mm-hmm. And then those who sit around complaining about them as these evil people tend not to do so well.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. I mean, like you said, action is critical. You just kind of, if you can't get past the gatekeeper, you go around them. That's as simple as that, I think.
Yeah. Or just be friends with them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. Let's see. Paula says, you know, we don't have the excuse as quite a few of the best and most prestigious universities are free, which is interesting because, I mean, I think she brought up the, you know, sort of how this is related to how education used to be kind of one of the barriers that would get in people's way. That being said, the who mom and dad are is true anyways. My dad would have loved for me to be a psychiatrist like him to inherit his patients, but I was the girl who fainted in bio class at the sight of a human body's insides. Not good for a doctor. Interesting. It's an interesting take on the whole gatekeeper thing, but you know, education and the role of education is a form of gatekeeping in a lot of ways, in my mind.
Oh well, there's no doubt, but there's lots of angles with that because you know, on one hand, yeah, we have more access to knowledge and information than we've ever had before, and we also have the ability to take courses or classes, even with, you know, prestigious institutions like MIT or Harvard. You know, you can get those classes for free online now, or Stanford, et cetera. But that is not even close to the same as actually going to that institution or getting a degree from that institution and what that degree represents in the traditional American ways of getting access to things or people. You know, there is no doubt when you have a prestigious degree in your hand or on your wall, you do get certain access to things that others don't, and that cannot be ignored.
Oh yeah, I mean, I honestly, my dad, you know, sold me on the virtues of Berkeley when I was very young. He said, "Look," he said, "at the end of the day, there is a perception, you know, when you
right.
when you, I mean, he I chose between that and another university." He said, "Look," he's like, "I'm going to be honest with you. This is a better choice in the long run." Yeah. And I'd be lying if I told you that it didn't give me access to certain things
sure.
that I wouldn't have had otherwise.
Right.
So, all right, one more piece of listener feedback, and then we'll wrap this up. This is from Thomas, which is really, again, we go back to education. With how expensive some formal education is becoming, and people with master's, PhDs, and multiple degrees working for low wages or not at all, is it honestly worth it to compete for what amounts to a trophy to please some HR person, mom or dad? A lot of Gen Y and some of Gen X has student loan debt that they're never going to be able to pay off, but still give these people the same sage advice. If you do what you're told, you'll have a career, and if you don't, you'll be poor.
Yeah, see, I think there's way too many generalizations there, and I think we tend to do that, you know, as a society. We generalize too much. But I'll tell you right now, if you told me that I could have a degree from MIT or Harvard Business School, I'd take it.
Yeah.
You know, I never went to college, and so I would absolutely take that. You know why I would take that? Because the connections that would give me and the opportunities that would give me with alumni, mm-hmm. And access to individuals who have significant influence. I think it's a mistake to ignore the value in something like that. Now, if you asked me, about a degree from a state university, I wouldn't take that.
Right, right.
That wouldn't be useful to me. Mm-hmm. I can get much further, much faster without it, and I certainly wouldn't need it if I were going to have to take on debt to get it.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think there's, you know, to create some sort of general generalization across the board as if everything is equal. I think that's a mistake. But I think there are certain instances in which taking on a lot of debt for a degree from a university that is not considered prestigious or would not have a certain value to it that would get you places, mm-hmm. I understand that. But then on the other hand, to ignore the value of a degree from a university that would get you places or get you access to people, I don't think that can be ignored.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you've even told me at times, you said one of the things that you realize is that I underestimate the value of the education that I've had.
Yeah, you absolutely underestimate the value of that education. There's no doubt. And I think a lot of people do that kind of grow up in middle America who end up going to universities like the one you went to, who don't see the results of it turn out the way they had envisioned it or the way that they were told. Uh-huh. They take an all or nothing approach. I think you do that. I think you say, wow, what a waste. And I look at it and say, bullshit. I mean, there's a lot of great things that have come out of that for you in a lot of big ways. But you're comparing, mm-hmm. you're comparing yourself to an ideal that didn't happen. You're not comparing yourself to the greater population of the world and just how valuable that degree was to you and to your work.
Well, I mean, the whole comparing yourself to an ideal that didn't happen, we could do a whole hour just on that. There's so much internal narrative there that really I think has to be dealt with. And I think that's largely, I mean, a lot of what this has been for me. But you know, as people have heard me say 1,000 times, let's shift gears a little bit. We have an interesting subject today, something that has come up both based on listener feedback and something that you and I have talked about extensively. It's interesting, right? Even though we're both of the same age, our digital lives are like almost night and day. In terms of kind of the way we embrace the internet and the way, you know, we are with technology. I think for me, I am much more connected to it than you are. It's kind of like, yeah, I'm like, I can't imagine. And for you, it'd be like, yeah, Facebook account closed, Twitter account closed, like 3-year project done. I don't want to have anything to do with this. Whereas I'd be like, I was like, what? I'm like, you're going to cut yourself off from all of that? Which, you know, I think that's a whole other discussion. But really, one of the things that, you know, we want to talk about, you know, a while back, we ran an episode with a guy named Charlie Hone. Some of you heard a very recent episode with him on anxiety, and I'll link both of these up in the show notes. But the other episode was called How to Become Recession-Proof. And I don't remember who it was, but somebody wrote in and they said, Srini, this is great advice, but it's not valid if you're a certain age. It's only good for somebody who is a millennial. And, you know, it got me thinking. I remember it may have been while we were driving around in LA looking for venues for our event or something. And when we talked about this idea that maybe we believe there is a generational divide, but that it's all a myth, that there is no generational divide, and that some, you know, we have to embrace this regardless of what age group we fall into.
Well, you know, it's clear that the influence of events and experiences around you have such an effect on how you see the world and how you view the world. So what happens there is you do have generational divides in terms of belief systems and values and what you respect and don't respect and things like that. I think that does happen because it's just by circumstance. You know, if you are around when, you know, World War II started, you view the world differently than if you weren't. If you were around in the Great Depression, you view the world differently than if you weren't. That can not be ignored. If you know, but the concept that somehow we have a situation where we have this generational divide, as if older people can't do certain things or younger people can do certain things or vice versa, that doesn't make any sense. And in my travels around the country, you know, I worked with people everywhere from 19-year-olds. In fact, I even spoke to a, you know, few seventh grade classes. Wow. All the way up to, you know, I think the oldest person that I worked with was 66, I think. So, you know, I've had a lot of experience with you know, different age groups across the board, and the same rules apply to everybody. And what it is it's not so much a generational gap or divide. it's really about technology, I think, in large part. And it's also about it's not just technology or learning technology. It's what that technology does or affords you. So I'll give you a perfect example. When I was in Chicago in 2011, I was at an event, and there was a section of this event that was for charity, and we were broken up into groups. Somebody had a charity that they were running. They explained their charity. They explained the challenges with their charity, and then they asked for feedback from the group. So in our group, there was approximately, let's just say, 20 people. And in this 20 people, there was in I'm purely speculating here, but I'm pretty sure I'm close to accurate. In this 20 people, there was about 12 of them that I would say were over the age of 40, and there was about 6 of them that were under the age of 25. So the person running this thing explains their charity. They explain their problems. The people over the age of 40 start having a discussion around these problems and possible solutions for them, right? And they're going back and forth, and they're saying, we could do this, we could do that. And somebody else says, no, we can't do that, but maybe we could do this, we could do that. And they're talking back and forth for about 20 minutes. In that time frame, everyone under the age of 25 had their head down looking at their computer or their phone, didn't say a word, didn't speak, didn't say a word. So you could look at that environment if you were watching and you could say, wow, look at all these engaged people over the age of 40 that seem to care about this charity, that want to talk about this charity, that want to find solutions to it. Look at all these 25-year-olds that don't care at all. Mm-hmm. All they're doing is looking at their phone. Then you get these under the age of 25 people poke their head up and they start talking. But they don't talk about possible solutions. They talk about the things they've already done. So one of the 18-year-olds had already bought the web domain. Another one set up a Tumblr for it. The other one got all the social networking accounts set up. So they were actually working. They weren't sitting there talking about possible solutions. They were already solving the problem. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's the difference, is what this technology has done is it's created this shift of action or no action, and consumption versus creation. And that's not an age thing. Mm-hmm. That's whoever you are. It just so happens that the younger generations have grown up around this stuff, and so they can adapt to it much quicker and much easier than others.
Yeah, I definitely think there's something to be said for that whole consumption creation balance. You know, here's something else to consider with age that came up for me in a recent interview. You know, it was the one we actually aired this week with Debbie Millman, who has been basically the brand strategist for iconic brands. But I mean, she's more of a brand anthropologist than she is a strategist or a marketer. One of the things that she said to me that really struck a chord, she said, you know, we view aging as this sort of horrible thing. Like, there's almost a negative connotation around it. But she said, you know, that age gives you a wealth of material when it comes to creation. You know, I mean, it's funny, you know, we were going back to that conversation about education and the value that it's given me. And, you know, and life experience. I mean, yeah, my ideal didn't live up. And then I think, okay, well, if the ideal lived up, what would there be to write about? You know, if there was no conflict and nothing happened and, you know, everything just went according to a plan, it'd be a pretty boring story to read. And so that's one thing I think that, you know, you have to consider with age is that, yeah, maybe you have to adapt because, you know, I can tell you there's a certain sense of wisdom and value that, I mean, it's very interesting because I can look at this, and I wrote about this somewhere. I said, you know, you look at our older guests and you look at our younger guests, and it's very interesting to hear their sort of take and view on the world. And the older guests, you can tell that they've lived life. The playing field is level when it comes to how they use technology. I don't think there's any difference. But there is something valuable about that I think gets overlooked when you try to make the argument that, hey, you know, some of this is just biased towards millennials.
Yeah. Well, look, anybody can do any of these things that we're doing today, regardless of age. I mean, in fact, age is less of a factor today than it's ever been, because most of the production that we used to have was the result of physical production. And now, you know, most of it is mental production and knowledge-based. So, I mean, age is less of a factor today in both directions. Mm-hmm. You know, you can be young. I mean, there's people in elementary school, kids in elementary school that are building apps,
yep.
Right? So you can be young and produce today, or you can be older and produce today at staggering numbers and that never existed before, because one, you didn't have access to the materials that you needed. And two, there used to be a learning – such a steep learning curve, and that learning curve is gone now because, technology is ubiquitous to everything that we're doing, and that's how we create everything.
Well, and I think that learning curve is going to get eliminated even more. I mean, right now, you need, a little bit of coding skill, but I think that, your tools are being created almost daily to basically make all of this easier than it's ever been. I think that at the beginning of The Art of Being Unmistakable, Justine Musk quotes Dan Pink, and she says, can a machine do it for you? And if a machine can do it for you, then you've kind of got to consider, okay, what do you bring to the table that the machine can't do? And I think that that's where sort of the creativity element comes in.
Yeah, and so going back to your original premise that the gentleman who wrote in said, these things don't apply. They only apply to millennials or younger people. I don't know. I feel like that's a personal belief system. I don't feel like that's an actual fact of the way the world works today. And and of course it starts there. Now, I will say that if you've chosen not to participate or learn certain things or keep up or adapt or innovate, then there's a steeper learning curve, and it's much, much, much more difficult. I mean, I was working with a gentleman not that long ago whom said to me, I need to create a resume, and I've been trying to create this resume in Microsoft Excel, and I can't figure out how to do it, right? So I stopped him mid-sentence, and I just said, you're not seriously creating a resume in Microsoft Excel, are you? But that's a perfect example where he hasn't kept up. Mm-hmm. So he's so far behind that he's trying to create a resume in a piece of software that calculates algorithms, like that's not a word processor.
Yeah.
So, we have to start there. Like that's how far behind he is, but that doesn't have anything to do with his age. That has to do with his inability to innovate and stay with the times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'd be really curious to hear what our listeners have to say, because I know that they come from across the board. I mean, many of you guys, some of you guys are on the older side, and some of you guys are really young. I don't know how many really, really young kids listen to us. There are probably a few people who are in college, but then many of you have worked for many years and have kind of seen the economy change. And, I think I'm in that sort of weird middle ground of not quite being Gen Y I'm not a millennial and I'm not quite the other. I fall right in between because of all the things that have happened with technology in the course of my life. Like it just was this weird middle ground.
Yeah, I actually think you and I are a perfect example of this, because you grew up with technology and I didn't, even though we're the same age.
Yeah.
And that to me is a perfect example. It has nothing to do with our age. It has to do with how we lived our lives. Because when you and I talk, you talk about, being in the San Francisco Bay Area, and you talk about the early internet days, and you talk about, having a computer in your home and all those things. Like I didn't have any of that. I didn't have a computer in my home. I didn't mess with technology. I was a late adopter, still am. And, I didn't grow up in the Bay Area or didn't go to school in the Bay Area. So you and I, to me, are a perfect example of exactly what we're talking about, in that, we're the same age, but we have completely different experiences with the advancements of technology and the changing of times and how to apply these things, where I was very late to the game and you were very early to the game. And that's reflected in how you and I operate on a day-to-day basis. You use all these tools and technologies, and you enjoy them and you appreciate them and you explore them. I don't, it has nothing to do with age.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, let's hear from you guys. I mean, we're really curious. This segment is entirely driven by your feedback and what you guys want us to talk about. What topics come up for you guys as you're going about navigating the world of being a creative entrepreneur and an insanely interesting person. So write in and tell us what you think. Unmistakablecreative.com/contact. I think it's really, we love hearing from you guys. And now let's get into something fun, something that we told you guys about last week. So as Greg and I mentioned, one of the things that we're going to do every week is we're going to give away a $25 Amazon gift card to somebody who leaves an iTunes review. And, this week I'm going to get it right, since Greg nailed me for getting it wrong last week. It is not just me picking a random person. It's actually a drawing. I literally have pieces of paper here inside a jar written down based on who left us an iTunes review in the last week. But let's review those. Let's take a look back at the reviews really quick, and then we'll wrap things up. Josh writes in. He says, a massive dose of inspiration. Listening to these stories about each of these guests on the journey has been an absolute inspiration. Srini does an incredible job digging deeper into the questions that others might be afraid to ask. This podcast is a real deal. Keep them coming. Thanks for that. This is from Vicky at Vegetarian Zen. The guests Srini interviews on this podcast are unlike any other, and Srini has an interviewing style that brings out the best in his guests. I listen to a lot of podcasts, but this is hands down one of my favorites. I look forward to my creative energy boost with each episode. Love that. Sukhneet basically writes in and says, lots of fun listening to Srinivas. Srinivas is passionately interested in his guests and gives them a space to share their insights. I think that's the first time anybody has referred to me as Srinivas in any, you know, reference to me online.
Really?
I don't know that I don't think I've ever introduced myself as Srinivas. I usually just say Srini.
Yeah, you know, when I was at your place, you invited a friend over, and he knew you from grade school, and he referred to you as Srinivas, and it kind of threw me off. Like, the first four times he said it, I'm like, who is this guy talking about?
Exactly. All right, one more, and this is from Brenda, Florida. Creative, inspiring, amazing, inspirational, challenging, definitely unmistakable. These are the best podcasts I've heard. Compelling and off-the-chart unique. Wow.
Nice. Well,
I really, really appreciate that. All right. Well, let's do this drawing. I'm going to pull a name out of like this little jar. Let's see. You're going to. Your drum roll sounds better than our intro music. All right. Who is it? Okay. Vicky at Vegetarian Zen. Send us an email. Actually, write in at unmistakablecreative.com/contact, and we will send you a $25 Amazon gift card. And for those of you listening, every review basically raises our rankings, helps us get you more and more awesome guests, and helps us get new listeners. And, write a review, and you get entered into a drawing every week for your chance to win an Amazon $25 gift card. Greg, anything else to add?
No, everything is great. Just write in, share your feelings, share your thoughts. I'm really curious to see what people think about this whole millennial versus, you know, this whole generational divide, and see where we take it.
All right, and we'll see you guys next week.
This episode of The Unmistakable Creative has been brought to you by Selz. That's SELZ.com. If you're looking for a PayPal alternative to sell digital, physical products and services, check out Selz. Selz allows you to add your products and sell from any site in minutes without any complicated setup or hassle. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, a ton of Unmistakable Creative listeners are already using the product and absolutely love it. Our other sponsor for today's show has been FreshBooks, the cloud accounting solution built for small business owners just like you who want to skip the headaches of tax time. If you're a freelancer or a business owner who is sending invoices to clients on a regular basis, FreshBooks helps you reduce that process to the click of a button. It helps you save time and get paid faster and track revenue all in one place. And for a limited time, you can even get a free 60-day trial. That's two whole months to try the product. So make sure you enter the Unmistakable Creative in the How Did You Hear About Us section. And remember, when you support our sponsors, you support our show.
You've been listening to the Unmistakable Creative Podcast. Visit our website at unmistakablecreative.com and get access to over 400 interviews in our archives.